Heavenly Father, we thank you for a new day, Lord God, for your mercies are new every morning. We lift this time up to you, and I pray that you will help us understand your word and open up our hearts to whatever you're speaking to us today. Lord, I pray that you will give me the wisdom and help me speak your heart, Lord. And I also pray over the connection and the technology during this time, Lord God, that there wouldn't be any disruptions. And we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today is day 35 of Lent, and we will be reading from Matthew 22, 1 to 22. So it's in your one app. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?' But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, 'Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax.' And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, 'Whose likeness and inscription is this?' They said, 'Caesar's.' Then he said to them, 'Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away." I would like to turn your attention to Ephesians 6, 10 to 12, which is also in the app. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We'll now read the devotion text below. The parable of the wedding feast is metaphorical of God's invitation to heaven and to eternal bliss. However, as in the parable, while the invitation of salvation is extended to many, it is accepted by few. Others fail to contemplate the question of eternity in face of the imminence of daily life. To enter into God's kingdom, one must take off their old and dirty garments and be clothed with Jesus' righteousness alone. Those relying on their own righteousness and not born of water and the Spirit will not be able to enter in." Okay, so as I was reading and meditating on the Matthew passage, I was actually reminded of a time when God brought a lot of new friends in my life, and somehow they were all receptive to hearing the gospel. And most of these people that I had met from my workplace, and somehow even without me asking them to Sunday service, they would be like, "Oh, hey, you're a Christian, right? Can you bring me to church? And I'm like, sure. And remember, there was this other time that it was pretty ridiculous. I was just walking past someone, and then I saw this calendar on her desk, and it had this ECC logo. So I asked her where she got that from. And she was like, oh, a colleague just mailed it to me internally. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she was like, oh, so do you go to church? I was like, yeah. I was like, I go to church. And then she was like, oh, can you bring me? And I was like, oh, sure. And so, of course, I brought her to SB the following day. The following Sunday. And then I had numerous experiences like these ones that I had just described within that year. And then some of my friends also asked me, like, hey, can you come with me to Alpha? And then so I brought them to Alpha at ECC, because at that time there was no Alpha at SP. And so at first, I was really hyped about people coming to Christ. And I would say that they were pretty consistent at the start. But somehow after a few months, their passion would die down. And the primary reason is because somehow life became awesome for them. And so things started going their way. And so they didn't feel like they needed Christ anymore. And so, bringing someone to Christ isn't just like accompanying them to church. And you actually have to invest in the relationship and follow up, right? And it's basically like outreach is like building deeper relationships, being vulnerable with each other, and really taking the time out to hear their stories and struggles. So of course I had spent a lot of time investing in these relationships, and like I said, they would then lose interest and stop seeking Jesus. So this happened over and over again, and then I think I got to a point where I was quite discouraged, and I couldn't be bothered anymore, because I felt like, oh, you're just wasting my time. And when I read this passage, I was like, oh, you know what? I was reminded of that experience. And I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, yeah, you guys can come to the wedding feast. And Jesus would be like, I don't know you, right? And so my other Christian friends would be like, oh, you know, you have the gift of evangelism. It's unusual that, you know, people will just come up to you and say, you know, they want to go to church. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. My response will always be like that. And I know in my head that, you know, God is greater, and it's not about the results that I can physically see, but it's like I could have sown some seeds that which may come to fruition in the later years, right? But I was still like, okay, whatever. And so actually, when I read this passage, I was reminded of this experience again. And when I read about, God's invitation to heaven, right, it actually got me thinking on why I felt so unwilling to initiate bringing people to church. And then I realized that I was, disappointed and bitter, because I felt like they had wasted my time, and my time could have been spent better elsewhere. So as I reflected more, I came to realize that I'm actually really selfish about my own time. So I like to fill my day with a lot of activities, things that I enjoy, and in this way I would feel satisfied. But this, you know, theme of being selfish over my own time is not just in evangelism, it's actually in other, like, it's very I see it in other parts of my life as well. And so, like, for example, I always knew that I should, you know, continue to work on my relationship with my mom, especially because she's not a Christian yet, but I would always prefer to do my own things instead. And there are always excuses, whether it be like church commitments or social activities or work or, you know, TV or whatever, right? And then actually a more recent experience is, you know, since our 21-day fast this year, I've been intending to fast more regularly throughout the year, but obviously I've been procrastinating for like the same reason. In my free time, I only want to do the things that I want to do, right? And the reason why I wanted to fast more regularly is actually because I encountered a lot of like struggles and difficulties at work. And so long story short is I landed on this job a year ago, and actually I didn't know what I had signed up for. Like, the entire interview process was really smooth, and I really felt like God's hand was over this, and I got quite a strong sense of conviction that I, you know, was supposed to take this job. But then little did I know that this job is so demanding. And I worked even longer hours than I had in my previous role. And if you know me, you would know that I'm actually not the super ambitious, aggressive type, and I'm really not looking for a high-paying job or anything. What I really want is something that is fairly decent, and most importantly, my work-life balance. So, you know, I would take a pay cut any day to work regular hours and enjoy my work-free weekend. And again, the underlying reason is because I wanted to free up time for myself. So throughout last year, I think I had been struggling to focus because I wasn't satisfied with where God had put me in this role. And it didn't help that I also had to work with really difficult people and clients. So fast forward to a month ago when it was like, you know, bonus time, performance review time. And then some people in my firm actually got laid off. And I was secretly hoping that I would be one of them, because honestly, I could really do with a job that had regular hours. And what's even better is I found out that their severance package was pretty good. And of course, even though it was my desire, it wasn't God's will. And so I didn't get laid off, unfortunately, but even though I was probably on the list. And the main reason why I'm still at this firm is because actually someone really stood up for me. And obviously the bigger reason behind this is because God had a lot of favor on me. And I feel that God is really making it loud and clear that, you know, you're supposed to be there. I have a purpose there, and there's like unfinished business. And come to think of it, you know, none of my colleagues are Christians yet. And in my selfish mindset, I was like, okay, it would be perfect if I got laid off. So going back to the devotion again, it talks about God's invitation to heaven. However, some reject this offer. And then some fail to contemplate the question of eternity in face of the imminence of life. So for me, it's not so much about contemplating the question of eternity, but is contemplating on whether I'm walking out God's purposes for me in fullness, or whether I am so caught up in like the luxuries of life, or in face of, you know, the imminence of life. And recently I feel like God has been prompting me to think about whether I have been spending my time wisely. I think right now is a very opportune time to really step out of my comfort zone and really align with God, especially during this like COVID-19 situation. And like the only way that we would feel like truly satisfied is if we walked out you know, God's purposes for us in our lives. And in the Bible it says, you know, in his presence there is fullness of joy. And so it's not good enough for me to intend to spend time with him or intend to fast more regularly, and it's also, you know, not by my willpower that will enable me to reorientate my life to Jesus. So, and there are always a lot of distractions, but God is worth, you know, so much more of my time than what I've given it. So in light of all this, actually I decided that I finally need to get myself together and really give it my best at work, and constantly having to remind myself, you know, to shift my mindset as though I'm working for God. And because the work itself is actually pretty difficult. And actually even the fact that I was hired into this role, I think it's a miracle to me. So surely God had preserved me for a reason. And actually I've never prayed so much during work, because there have been so many instances that I have been asked to do something that I really didn't know how to do. So it is completely by God's grace, and somehow I'm just able to get it done. And so if I survive another year, it's completely on God. And you know, I don't want to have wasted this time of not joining God in what he wants me to do. Otherwise, I would have really wasted my time, right? And so even like reading the Ephesians passage, I think, you know, about wearing the armor of God is a really good reminder that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against forces of evil in the heavenly places. And then obedience doesn't come naturally to me. And the devil obviously wants to distract us and use all sorts to prevent us from spending time with God. I'm definitely feeling it. So I keep having to, you know, remind myself that, you know, I should really use my time wisely. So as we move into a time of, you know, reflection and worship, I think there are a few things that we can contemplate on this morning. So is there something that God is inviting you to, but for some reason you're just too busy living life and therefore fail to hear God's calling for you in this season? Or are we buying into the deception that these things in life would bring satisfaction or fulfillment? Yet we know that, you know, our hearts will only truly be satisfied when we live out God's purposes for us in our lives. And, you know, I'm reminded of Ephesians 5:16, which says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is."
Not afraid anymore. Your love has made
They will be reading the prayer from the app. So, Father, we lift up all those involved in overseas mission. Renew their spirit and keep them focused on Jesus' great commission. Show us how we can support mission both here and overseas. We pray especially today for faith comes by hearing and vision 2033 in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we're going to move into community prayer right now. Okay, let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer and also those going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. And pray for full healing for them and just pray that, you know, God will give them comfort, them and their families that comfort, and they will have peace during this time. Next, we can pray for people who are sick and also is in need of salvation. We just pray that, you know, when God knocks on their door, that they would accept willingly and with open arms. And then next, we'll pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. We just pray for full healing for them as well. And then next, we'll be praying for those who are applying for jobs, and then pray that even during this time of during this time that they don't have jobs, that they would be using their time wisely. And then next, we'll move into praying for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, the Wealth Gap Revival, churches, sports services, international, Shanti. Pray for Godwin and Rebecca, YWAM, Toon Moon, Sons and Daughters. Pray for Janice, Stan Asia, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And that's especially lift up the, you know, the COVID-19 situation as well. And then let's pray for SPE staff. Pray for P. Sam, P. Nay, P. Salamat, P. Ken, P. Mary, P. Andrew, Tim, Monica, Ashley, Lisa, Rachel, Cadence, Kayla, Donald, Sally, Trish, and Ben. Let's then pray for the hospitality ministry. We pray for welcoming and barista. We also pray for P. Andrew and Ashley, who leads these ministries. Let's pray for worship and sound and the AV team. And let's also pray for P. Nate, Conrad, and P. Kenny, who leads these ministries. And then there's no house church. We're on a break, but let's also pray for, you know, we can pray for house church and also, you know, on Sundays when we move into this new format and just when house church come together and have this time of sharing, let's pray over house churches. So God, we thank you for this time that, you know, despite the quarantine and everything, you have given us the technology that we can, you know, host EMP and start the day with you. And Lord, I pray that we would be quick to obey to whatever you're calling us to. And as we go about our day, I pray that you will give us that sense of purpose in the things that you have called us to do, despite sometimes it might not be what we want to do, Lord. So I pray for your protection, especially during this time, keeping our family and friends healthy, Lord. And I pray for divine opportunities to witness to people in our sphere of influence during this time. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, for you are worthy, Lord. And we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.